Let's take our Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 4. This concluding chapter of this wonderful epistle to the Philippians starts with the word therefore. Philippians 4:1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. The word therefore is a connective which ties the preceding truth to the practical application that follows. So to really get the impact of this, let's start in verse 20 of Philippians chapter 3. It says, for our conversation, or our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, isn't this truth just so simple, but yet so wonderful and impacting, that we currently are looking for the Savior from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what we're anticipating. It doesn't say we're looking for the wrath to come. We're not looking for signs, you know, that are giving indication of the great tribulation. No, we're looking for Jesus Christ to return. We're looking for the gathering together. He's currently in heaven. Our citizenship spiritually is there with him, but it will take his return for us to be gathered together. But when he does, he shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So therefore, in light of Jesus Christ's return, in light of the gathering together, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. A lot of wonderful terms of endearment in this first verse of Philippians chapter 4, aren't they? First, my brethren. You know, we are brethren of each other by birth, by the new birth. My brethren, dearly beloved, longed for. Look at the heart of the Apostle Paul towards the believers. My joy and crown. This is a very similar reference as 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 speaks a very similar truth, where it says in verse 19, for what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? The believers were Paul's joy and crown. Why? Because they would be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming by the new birth. We're all qualified, we're registered, we're going to heaven when Jesus Christ comes back. And this was Paul's joy and crown, his crown of rejoicing. Boy, when you have the privilege of being involved in another person's life where they receive deliverance, where they receive salvation, it's just brings joy to your heart, but it's also going to bring rewards, you know, here referred to as a crown, at the time of Jesus Christ's return. So in Philippians chapter 4, amongst these terms of endearment, the believers are referred to as Paul's joy and crown. So as a result, stand fast in the Lord. The word stand fast could be handled remain strong in the Lord. Remember in the section of Ephesians chapter 6 of the whole armor of God, that we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The believers at Philippi had been strong, many of them. They were mature. Here the encouragement is remain strong. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. This is very similar to what we read previously in Philippians chapter 1. Let's go there. Philippians 1 in verse 27, it says, "Only let your conversation or your manner of life be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast," same word, "in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the believing of the gospel." The encouragement again is stand fast, remain strong. Here it says, in the Lord, in Philippians 1, stand fast in the Spirit. God is very, very concerned that his believers be of one accord, that we be like-minded. You know, how is this one body going to ever function together if we're all divided, if we're of different minds, if we come to different conclusions about the Bible, if we're not following the guidance of God? It's so important. One of the reasons that the mystery has remained a mystery to so many Christians is because those people who have known it haven't stayed like-minded. These people at Philippi had known the mystery. They had been taught the mystery. They had practiced the mystery. They had been strong in the Lord. But now the encouragement is remain strong in the Lord. My dearly beloved, verse 2, "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." Evidently, these two women, and both these words in the Greek are feminine. These are two women, Euodias and Syntyche, weren't of the same mind in the Lord. So the revelation here is, "I beg you, I beseech you, I beg you, Euodias, I beg you, Syntyche, that ye be of the same mind in the Lord." Perhaps some of this is the result of what we read about in Philippians 1. Remember that some preach Christ out of envying and strife. You know, others did it sincerely. Or maybe, you know, these two women could have even been involved in causing that kind of strife and division. But God is very, very concerned that we be of the same mind in the Lord. Look at Philippians chapter 2. In verse 2, it says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. For the mystery of Christ," for the one body to really function the way God intended it to, it requires us being like-minded, being of one accord, of one mind, having the same love. So these are two people who are being called out in Scripture who weren't practicing that. You see, and again, this is reproof. This is a reproof epistle. "And I entreat thee also," verse 3, "true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." You know, there's been quite a debate in recent times about what women's place is in the Christian church. There's been a debate amongst many of the denominations of, can a woman be a priest? Can a woman minister? Can a woman be ordained? You've probably heard of some of these things, and there's a lot of varied opinions about it. Well, there shouldn't be. The only reason there is because of neglect and ignorance of the Scripture. Because here it talks about those women which labored with Paul in the gospel. You know, fellow laborers, workers together with Paul in the gospel. Romans 16 refers to one woman as being an apostle. You know, if the mystery is ever going to live, don't we have to understand that in Christ Jesus there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female? When it comes to the spiritual reality of the body of Christ, you know, sex doesn't matter. Now, it might matter in lesser realities. It might matter in which bathroom you go to in a public place. It might matter, and certainly in matters of the Christian family, of marriage and things like that. But when it comes to the body of Christ, we are all created equal. And every born-again one has a ministry. The whole debate of women's place in the church gets off on the wrong foot and then just, you know, falls off a cliff very quickly. Here it talks about, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And the book of life is God's record keeping of those people who have been delivered by the work of Jesus Christ. All saints have been made holy. All saints have been saved, delivered. Our names are written in the book of life. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. And again, I say, rejoice. Somebody ought to write a song about that. rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Boy, isn't this the great message that's coming through from Philippians? Is rejoice. There's so much to be thankful for. There's so much to have joy and rejoicing about. You know, it's not burdensome or irksome for us to be reminded over and over and over again to rejoice because it's so wonderful. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, it doesn't say rejoice in the Lord just when things are going your way. It doesn't say rejoice in the Lord just when you're having a happy day or in a good mood. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. This moderation is self-control, it's temperance, it includes forbearance and the willingness to yield on insignificant matters. But, you know, that type of attitude, of service, of, you know, willing to yield on stuff that's less than the word, that is easier to do when you remember the Lord. And here, when it says, the Lord is at hand, I know a lot of times this is understood as, you know, the Lord might return at any moment, which is certainly true. So the Lord is at hand in that way. But the Lord, remember, it's Christ in you. You know, God is in us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's always at hand. You know, He's always present. So we're being reminded of the Lord. And then in light of that, our behavior can follow in a very godly, very wonderful way. And then verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. You know, I know my boys really, when they were growing up, they really implemented this verse. They don't have to be careful about anything. No. It's careful is old English. Literally, could be understood as full of cares. Modern translation, anxious. Be anxious for nothing. You know, don't get stressed about anything. That's a good translation. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be stressed about anything. Now, let me ask you a question. Do we encounter stress? Do we encounter mental pressure? Do we encounter anxiety? Sure we do. But in these verses is a wonderful way of handling it, a way of counteracting the anxiety, the stress, the mental pressure that can come from simply being a human being. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. And again, those words mean what they say what they mean. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So, if you'll remember Philippians 4, verse 6, in times of potential anxiety, potential stress, of times of mental pressure, what does God encourage us to do in those times? Pray. See, pray in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, you might not be thankful for the situations that are causing the anxiety, but boy, we've got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? So you remember God's word. You remember what Christ has accomplished. You remember your deliverance. You remember your sonship position. And that produces great thanksgiving in the heart of a believer. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the word request means specific, special petitions. God would have us to pray to Him in everything. Boy, in times of anxiety, pray to God. You know, make your requests known to God. He hears and answers our prayers. His ears are open to our prayers. His eyes are over God's people. He watches out and cares for us. And then it says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verses 6 and 7 are just such a wonderful transference. They're a wonderful trade, so to speak. Because where did verse 6 start? It started with anxiety. It started with stress. And in verse 7, where does it end? What's the transference or the trade that's occurred? It's the peace of God. Hey, if you can trade anxiety for peace, I'd say that's a pretty good transaction. Isn't that a trade you want to make? Well, how do you make that trade? The key to it is pray. That's what allows us to live a worry-free life. You know, we don't have to be all worried and biting our fingernails up to the first knuckle or any of that stuff. But we just can take our cares and cast them upon Him, knowing that He cares for us. That we make this wonderful trade of potential anxiety, of the stress that we encounter in this world, and trade it for the peace of God, which passes all understanding, and that shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What wonderful verses to remember. These would be two wonderful verses to retemorize if you haven't already done it. Very, very practical information about how to stand fast, remain strong in the Lord. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Boy, you want to know how we can stay like-minded in the Lord? You want to know how we can function together as brethren in the body of Christ? Well, it certainly is conditional upon what we think. And here it gives us quite a wonderful list of things to think about. Whatsoever things are true. You know, well, what is truth? I think, who was it, Pontius Pilate that asked that question? What is truth? John 17:17 says, "Thy word is true." You know, God's word is truth. So whatsoever things are true, that's what we're to think on. Whatsoever things are honest. You know, we don't spend our time thinking about, you know, dishonest stuff or how we could trick people or, you know, whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. You know, we can think the pure thoughts of God's word. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Boy, what a verse. You know, talk about a verse concerning the renewed mind of how to get a wonderful transformation, how to get out of being conformed to this world and be transformed by the renewal of our minds. How about Philippians 4:8? You know, in even the direst circumstances, there's always something virtuous or praiseworthy that you can think about. There's always truth that is available to think. There's always something pure or honest of good report that we can think about and practice in the renewed mind. It definitely takes discipline of mind to think this way. And in so many ways, this verse and many others in the church epistles are reproving to people who have known the Word of God and maybe let it slip a little bit. You know, none of us have mastered this, that's for sure. And then verse 9, it says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be," what? "With you." Remember, it said in the previous chapter, Philippians 3, verse 17, "Brethren, be imitators together of me." Well, here is a similar exhortation, that those things which the believers had learned and received and heard and seen in Paul, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. These believers had the blessed privilege of having been with the Apostle Paul. They knew his example. They knew of his walk. They saw his love. They saw of him standing strong for God, of his utter commitment to truth. So they could bring that example to mind and remember the things that they'd learned from Paul. Remember the things they'd received and heard and seen in him. And so the encouragement here is do those things which Paul exemplified. In other words, be an imitator together of Paul. And the resultant promise is the God of peace shall be with you. A couple wonderful encouragement in Philippians chapter 4 of how to have the peace of God in evidence in your life. One is by trading your anxiety through prayer to God for peace. Here is the encouragement to think lovely and just and true, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy thoughts, and then to imitate the example of the Apostle Paul. And the promise, again, is that of peace. You know, I think of all the things that people desire. Well, certainly at the top of many people's list of things they want to have in their life is they want to have peace. You know, when you have worry, when you have confusion, when you have strife, when you have doubts, when you have inner fears, it can rob even the born-again one of their peace with God, of their peace of mind. But here in Philippians chapter 4 is some wonderful, very practical instruction about how to manifest the peace of God in your life.